look ready.
And you look sure.
Rapture drill!
Well, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Did everyone have a good night last night?
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Before we get started this morning, I want to ask you to pray for me. I really need your prayers. I fell down Monday when Frieda and I were moving in the apartment and packing the truck, and I hurt my back, and it has progressively gotten worse during the week, and it hurt so bad last night I couldn't hardly sleep, but Nurse Susan's been taking care of me, and Phil's been taking care of me, but best of all, the Lord's been taking care of me. Amen. You know what the Bible says about stuff like that? The Bible says God's in control of everything. He doesn't make some bad things happen to us. He doesn't make bad things happen to His people. But sometimes He allows things to happen. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Romans 8:28 that all things, not some things, not most things, not many things, but all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. I had never understood that until I thought, when I was thinking on that passage of Scripture, and I thought about I had a wonderful grandmother who made biscuits. How many of you like homemade biscuits? Boy, I'm telling you what, I love homemade biscuits. I can eat more homemade biscuits than Carter's got back pills. I'm telling you, I can eat homemade biscuits. I love them. Well, my mom made pretty good, you know, homemade biscuits, but my grandmother, actually it was my Aunt Louella. We couldn't say Louella when we were little. We called her Leeler. Gary called her, you know. But anyway, her name was Louella, and we called her Aunt Leeler. And she was the best biscuit maker that is what I am anywhere. She's in heaven with the Lord now, but boy, she can make biscuits. And we would go to her house, and we called it Leeler's bread. And so every time we went to her house, we would beg her for Leeler's bread. And I thought, you know, maybe if I can watch Aunt Leeler make biscuits, I can go home and I can make biscuits like Aunt Leeler. They were the best biscuits in the world. They would melt in your mouth. And so we went to Aunt Leeler's, and we begged her. So she was in there making biscuits, and I was sitting there watching her. And you know, she didn't put one good thing in the bowl that she was making biscuits in. Not one good thing. She put lard in the bowl. I said, lard. Y'all know what lard is? You know what lard? Yeah, it's just fat. It's like Crisco, but it's just a big old glob of the. She put lard in the bowl. I don't know about you, but I don't like to dig my hand in Crisco. Oh boy, that's good. Gary does. She put lard in the bowl. Then she put buttermilk. 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 When I put buttermilk in my mouth, it makes my mouth feel like it's all turned out on the outside, like buttermilk. Then she put flour, just flour, and salt. She didn't put one single good ingredient in that bowl, far as I was concerned. But you know what she did? She took all of those ingredients, and she took those beautiful, long, skinny fingers that she had, and she began to work those ingredients together. And she worked them, 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 till she had dough. Now, I don't know about you, but dough isn't too good either. I don't know about you, but I don't like to just get me a big old handful of biscuit dough and eat it. It's terrible. Then she took that dough, and she put it on a piece of board, and she started beating that dough and rolling it with a rolling pin. She was hurting that dough. If that dough had been alive, it had been going, "Help me!" Then she cut that dough up in little round cookie-looking things. Then she tried it by fire. She took all those bad ingredients that she had put together, and she put them in the oven. She tried them by fire. But when she opened that oven door again and pulled that tray out, those are the best biscuits you had ever eaten. And that's what God does. He takes all the bad ingredients of our lives and He puts them in His great, big, divine mixing bowl. And with his divine, beautiful fingers of love and grace and mercy and kindness and patience and long-suffering and peace and joy and happiness, he mixes all those together. And then he sort of tries us by fire. But when we come out on the other side, we're fit for heaven. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. If you got them, I want to see them right now. All right. Okay, I'm so proud of you. John chapter 5 right now. John chapter 5. I have another story I want to share with you today. And another principle I want to share with you. John chapter 5. Tuesday we talked about reaping what you sow. And then yesterday we talked about the blessings of obedience to God. Today I want to talk about the principle that Father knows best. That God our Father knows best. Look at John chapter 5 and look at verse 17. And notice what Jesus said here. He says, "My Father worketh hitherto and I work." Jesus said, "My Father, God the Father, has been working up until now, and now I am working too." Jesus was on the earth speaking to his disciples. He says, "My Father has been working, and now I'm here working too." Now look at verse 19. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but whatsoever he sees the Father do. But whatsoever the Father does, the Son does likewise. And the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel." And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now listen to what Jesus said here. Jesus said, "My Father works." God is always at work. He's constantly working. Jesus said, "My Father has been working up until now, and now here I am, and I'm working too. But," he said, "I can't do anything on my own." Jesus said, "I can't do anything on my own. So I watch my Father to see what he is doing. And when I see what he is doing, he shows me what he is doing, and then I just do that too." That's what he says here. Jesus, the whole time he was on the face of the earth, he said, "I can do nothing on my own. So I watched where my Father's working. I let him show me what he's doing, and then verse 20, it says, the Father loves the Son, and because the Father loves the Son, he's going to show him all things that he's doing so that the Son can do it too. Jesus said, "I watch my Father to see what he's doing, and whatever he's doing, I go over there and join in with him doing that. He shows me how to do it, when to do it, why to do it, and I just do what the Father does." And Jesus came to be an example to you and I. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, he says, "You know, I'm leaving." And Jesus was. He was going to be crucified on a cross for sin. But he says, "Here's what you do. You watch your Father. You watch your Heavenly Father. See where he's working. When you see where he's working, go over there and join him in that work. And when you join him in that work, allow him to show you how to do whatever it is he's doing so that you can do it too. And he loves you. And because he loves you, he will show you how to do it." Wow, isn't that great? Man, I love that. I love the fact that I don't have to know on my own how to do what God wants me to do. I love the fact that God will show me what he's doing, show me how to do what he wants me to do. Because he loves me, he will always give me the proper instruction. But I don't always take that instruction. And when I don't, it always gets me in trouble. Let me share a story with you. I told you yesterday that I grew up in a neighborhood that used to be my grandfather's farm. My grandfather had 11 children, and as they grew up, he just kind of divided the farm among them, and my aunts and uncles all built their houses together. Some people called it Waretown where we lived, and I had all these cousins stuff, but my dad fancied himself somewhat of a farmer too. He was raised on a farm. And so behind our house, there was a huge field that my father had, and he farmed that field. He also worked another job, but he farmed also, and he had a tractor. Now, it was the most unusual tractor I've ever seen. I've only seen one other tractor like it in the world. As a matter of fact, when I was down here one year, a kid told me that his grandfather had a tractor like this. But this was a tractor that didn't have a steering wheel on it. It had a stick. It had a stick right between your legs where you sit, and you push that stick forward to go to the left, and you pull that stick back to go to the right. wild, weird tractor. Had two little wheels on the front, two great big wheels on the back. It had a huge engine on the front of it that didn't have a hood or a cover over it, anything, and it was a one-cylinder engine. And when you crank that thing, it would go, bow, 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 bow. That's how it ran. Bow, 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 constantly. And you crank it up a little more and go, bow, 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 bow. And you always knew when Daddy was on the tractor because you go, bow, 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 bow. But that tractor was amazing. I wanted to drive the tractor. I can't remember a time that I didn't want to drive that tractor. I'd see my dad out there on that tractor. He'd be driving that tractor, plowing in the field, you know. And I'd think, boy, I want to drive that tractor. So when I got up to about 12 years old or so, we'd be out in the field working with my dad, you know, and me and Gary, and we'd get out there and we'd work with Dad. And Dad would be, and me and Gary, we'd be having to hoe. That's hard work. Cleaning the weeds and stuff. And Daddy, he'd be riding the tractor. And I'm thinking, why come he get to ride the tractor and I have to hold this, you know, Gary. Of course, Gary didn't know. He's like, you know. And I thought, if I would be on the tractor, then Daddy would be out here hoeing with Gary. And not only would I have to put up with Gary, but I wouldn't have to be hoeing. I'd just be riding the tractor. So I started begging Daddy, Daddy, let me drive the tractor. I'd be running along, but Daddy be going. I'd be running along beside Daddy in the tractor. I'd be, Daddy, let me drive the tractor.
He'd say, get away.
I'd say, Daddy, come on, let me drive the tractor. I'm driving the tractor.
He'd say, you're too little to drive the tractor. Get away.
I'd be running beside. I'd be, but Daddy, I'm 12 years old. This is what happens when you get 12. How many of you are 12 or older? Okay, most of you can identify with this. When you get 12 years old, something unusual happens. Happens to every 12-year-old in the world. Happened to me, happened to you. All of a sudden, when you're 12, all of the collective knowledge of the universe all of a sudden goes and fills your brain. And you know everything. Say amen. I know it. Now, when you get 20, all that goes out. It's like somebody goes and sucks your brain out when you're 20. Can I get a witness? Say amen. I was 12. Daddy, let me drive a tractor. I can drive the tractor. I'm a tractor driver, a natural born tractor driver.
Get away, boy.
Finally, the Bible says be persistent. And I always do what the Bible says, don't you? And so I'm running alongside the tractor. Daddy, finally, he said, all right, okay. He gets down off the tractor. He goes, slows it down. And it's sitting there. Daddy gets down on his tractor. He says, okay, son, I'm going to let you drive the tractor. I climbed up on the tractor, and Daddy said, okay, son, here's how you drive the tractor. Now, if you remember yesterday, he had taught me how to ride a bicycle after a lot of trouble. Amen? I should have learned a lesson. Amen? Do you think I did? Do you know why? That's right. I knew everything. Plus, I had a little brother that was dumb as a rock. Everything was his fault. Amen? I never did anything wrong. You never get in trouble by yourself, do you? Your brother or sister, somebody else, it's their fault. But anyway, I get on the tractor. Daddy says, son, here's how you drive the tractor. I said, I know how to drive a tractor. I mean, I thought it was easy. I'd seen my daddy drive the tractor, and I'd watched him drive it for years. I said, I know I can drive. I'm a tractor driver. I know I'm 12. He said, no, son, there's things you don't understand about the tractor. I said, and the tractor's going, bap, 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 bap. I said, I can drive the tractor. And I knew there was a stick behind the steering stick, and I'd seen Daddy push that stick, and when he pushed that stick, the tractor went. And I knew all you had to do was push that stick, and that tractor would go. I didn't know about a clutch. I didn't know about brakes. I didn't know anything like that. I just figured if you pushed that stick, the tractor would go. And he kept trying to tell me, here, son, here's how you do it. I said, I know, I can drive. I'm a tractor driver. I can do this. He finally said, okay, smarty, drive the tractor. I said, all right. Tractor going, bap, 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 bap. So I got the throttle on that tractor, and I said, bap, 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 bap. That tractor just, bap, 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 bap. I thought, oh, boy. You know, you get chicken skin, you get the old goose pimples, and your hair stands straight up. That's what happened to my hair, see? My hair's been standing straight up since the day I drove the tractor. Anyway, the tractor went, I got a hold of that stick where the gear was, and that truck went, bah, 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 and I shoved that stick forward, and that truck went, bah, 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 and I was driving. I was going toward the end of the field on the tractor. I was having fun. Hollering, look at me! I'm driving the tractor. Gary going, duh, you're driving the tractor, Dolly. I was trying to figure out how to run him over. But he's faster than a tractor. Anyway, I got out to the end of the rows with, and I pulled the stick back and I tried to go. And I got up to the end of this row, pulled the stick back in. I was driving the tractor. Boy, it was fun. And I drove the tractor all the way to the end of the field, and all the way to the end of the field, and all the way to the end of the field. And Gary, he's running beside me. You book the double drive the tractor too. Get away. Boom. Well, I did that for maybe 30 minutes. I got tired of riding on the tractor. Driving the tractor just wasn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be. I mean, you know, been there, done that. Got a t-shirt. I mean, you know. So I decided I wanted to get off the tractor. Then I realized I didn't know how to stop the tractor. The tractor going, pop, 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 and I couldn't figure out how to stop it. I reached and got that stick in the middle where the gears was, and I went pulling on that thing, and it wouldn't budge. I thought, man, this is how you stop this thing. I pull, and nothing would happen. It just wouldn't do nothing. And so, you know, and so finally, I went by where my daddy and Gary were working, and I said, hey, daddy. He said, what? I said, I want to get off now. He said, okay. We went back to work. I went to turn around. I went by, hey, daddy. He said, what? I said, I don't know how to stop the tractor. He said, okay. And he kept working. I went back to the other end of the road, turned around, came back, and I said, hey, daddy, can you tell me how to stop the tractor? He said, no. He went back to working. I went back to the end of the road, came back, I said, hey, daddy, I don't know how to stop the tractor. He said, yes, you do. You know everything. And he went to home. Gary and Daddy kept working in the garden. Now, when I was a little fella, I got an allowance of 50 cents a week. Big money in my day. A model car was $1.50, so once a month I'd go to the toy store and I'd buy a model car. It was my passion, it was my love. I'd put those model cars together, man. I'd paint them up, put all the decals on them. I'd stick them on shelves, and they were like mama's doodads. You didn't touch the model cars. I'm on the tractor. I happened to look, and guess what Gary's got?
How'd you know?
Gary's got my two newest, shiniest, prettiest model cars, and he's sitting in the dirt where daddy's hoeing, me on the tractor, and he's going, hey, Johnny, looky here. You know what I'm doing? I'm driving that stupid tractor. And Gary's all, got your model cars. I'm thinking, I'm going to kill him when I get done here. If I ever get off this tractor alive, I'm killing Gary. Wasn't long, Daddy and Gary started gathering up their tools. They head back toward the house. You know what I'm doing? Driving that stupid tractor. You could see the house from the field, and They went in the house and I saw Mama putting supper on the table. They sat down to eat supper. You know what I was doing? Driving that stupid tractor. I didn't know how to turn it off. I knew everything, but I didn't know how to turn it off. I thought these pedals have to do something here. I didn't know that you mash this pedal and it locked down this wheel. That's how you turn on a dime, you know, on a tractor. And you lock down this pedal. And I thought, maybe if I push this pedal, the tractor stops. I pushed that pedal, the tractor went. I didn't do that no more. They ate supper. I drove the tractor. After supper, Mama come carrying out the ice cream freezer. They sat on the back porch, ice cream freezer. Daddy starts. We didn't have electric ones back then. These were back in the colonial days. And Daddy's cranking the ice cream. You know what I was doing? They ate ice cream. Little did I know, but Daddy had filled that tractor up with gas right before he cranked it up. It got dark. I could see the house. They got ready for bed. They went to bed. You know what I was doing? Now, I didn't realize it then. My dad never went to bed. He sat in his chair and kept an eye on me the whole time I was driving that tractor. You see, my father loved me, and he always had his loving eyes upon me, just like my Heavenly Father. Even when I'm out of his will, he loves me. He's trying his best to protect me. They went to bed. Do you know how long I rode that tractor? I rode that tractor till it ran out of gas. I rode that stupid tractor. I must have rode that stupid tractor up and down that field 100 times. 150 times. Maybe 1,000 times. My aunts and uncles would go up the road, wave at me. Hey, there's Jolly on the tractor. They knew I was dumb too. But I rode that tractor till that thing ran out of gas. My dad taught me a valuable lesson. You see, the very next day, my dad took me out to the field, and he put me on that tractor, and he taught me exactly how to drive that tractor. I drove that tractor for years after that. But I drove that tractor that night till that thing ran out of gas. And I learned a very valuable lesson. Jesus said, my Father's working, and now he has me working. But I can do nothing on my own, so I watch my Father to see what he's doing. When I see what he's doing, he loves me. He shows me how to do what he wants me to do, and I just do it. And see, that's what God wants of us. Jesus Christ came and died for us so that we could know the Father. That our sins could be forgiven and the Father could show us everything that he's doing. Now you can drive that stupid tractor all night if you want to. Or you can ask Jesus into your heart, be your Savior, get in touch with God, and let him direct your life in a way that will absolutely fill you up and give you blessings. That is my prayer, that you will know the Father and his blessings as he guides your life. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all you are and all you do. We thank you, Lord, that all things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And Father, we thank you that even though sometimes we have to learn lessons the hard way, that you are always watching over us, Lord, wanting us to come into you, into your Son, to know you and to do your will. Lord, I pray that you will help us to look to you to guide our lives. Lord, I pray today that you will begin to work in our hearts so that Jesus Christ might have a home there and that he might live his life through us in all things. Father, we thank you for the showers of rain. We just pray today that you will give us all we need to bring honor and glory to you here on this mountain. Father, we just pray today that everything we say and do will be pleasing to thee. Help us to look to you for all things. Bless us. We ask it in Jesus' name as we worship you. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.